This Sunday. Side by side at the microphone, from the green light to the speed trap, Chris Switzer and Ray Garino calls them as they sees them, and you better believe them. Here! Relevant news, biased opinions, and outright bullshit regarding every aspect of automotive culture. Gasp! But mechanical trickery never before revealed over FCC-regulated airwaves. Thrilled to the explosive tension as Chris and Ray cuss each other down the track and barrel roll across the finish line, laughing at certain disaster as they shake hands with the devil! All that and much more this Sunday at high noon on the Motormouth Radio Hour. Call in and speak live with the Wizards of Speed and live feed, Chris Switzer and Ray Garino. Bring the whole family. Kids under 12 get in free. Every Sunday at noon on WHPC. Take the Long Island Expressway to the Meadowbrook Parkway and look for the sign saying no parking on the expressway and no express service on the parkway. Go right on Highway 24 to Garden City. $2 all-day parking includes pit pass. Sunday!
All right, teens, queens, guys in blue jeans, you've tuned in to Motormouth Radio, Long Island's only automotive talk show, with a little bit of a different format today, but with your same old hosts, Ray Guarino and Mr. Chris Switzer. How are you, Chris?
Doing very well, Ray. I'll play the music. Na 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 na. All right.
Nice.
Something, some sort of streaming loud guitar thing that you would hear on every single other automotive talk show.
We're not quite,
I'm sorry.
We're not quite that bad, but
no,
we've been known to do a few things. People seem to like it, so we just kind of roll with it. What the heck, you know?
Yes, people like this great big steaming hunk of automotive knowledge that we call Motormouth Radio. Yes, sir.
Yes.
So how was the week that was?
Well, the week and the weeks are getting kind of hectic for me because foretell it now. Next week, we will not be doing a live show because I'm going to be on a little southern sojourn down into the southern part of this country. It used to be called a vacation. Now it's called house hunting. So
yes,
we're going to be down there for a couple weeks, and then we'll be back. And we'll. So I've been very, accumulating stuff to bring. You got to start lining stuff up on a table because when you take a road trip, you have to have stuff. You never know, like, what to bring. That's a good topic, like, what to bring on a road trip. Now, we're not taking our own cars. I rented a car. I was actually one of the elite who was able to get a rental car.
Ooh, look at you.
They're, like, not available.
Who are you able to, who did you grease?
Yeah.
Who do you have dirty pictures of?
Have a good friend. Well, they were yours, but they...
I can't help you get a rental car.
I said, oh, those again? No, actually, through the shop, through a good friend, Mike, they were able to, extend the courtesy and
right.
Get us a car.
Oh, good.
It is more than it cost us last time, so the price is up. And I tell you, I've been calling... a couple weeks ago, I set this up, and then I told the manager, I said, well, how about I call you, like this past Thursday or Friday, a few days before we leave to see what's available. I said, because I want like a mid-sized car or a small SUV. I said, there's only two of us. We're not bringing a bunch of stuff with us, but I don't want a Tercel or like a,
You're going, if you're traveling over 15 hours, you want something you can stretch out in. I understand.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I had a very good friend of mine one time. He used to rent all these. He used to be very budget minded. He used to rent these Ford Escorts and things like that.
Yeah.
And I said, "Go get a Grand Marquis, dude. Spend the money."
Right.
And he came back from a trip and he was like, "Oh, what the?" It was like the wisest purchase he made all that whole trip was getting a Grand Marquis because he could stretch out in it on the road.
I tell you, a few years ago we went to Tennessee. We had rented. It gave me a brand new VW Atlas. It was just out.
Oh wow!
I said, "This thing is huge." But I tell you, it was great to drive. It had economy mode. It was good on gas. It was, and it brought back a lot of moonshine. So so that was good.
Yeah. No one would ever think you'd be bringing back moonshine in a VW Atlas, that's for sure.
But anyway, calling this place on Thursday and like, no, the manager's not in today. All right. Well, he told me to call to check. Well, we really don't know until we get close. I'm like, well, I said, do you have an idea? Oh, we really don't know. Call us again tomorrow. I call Friday. The same thing. So I called yesterday on Saturday. They said, call Saturday. We'll know better what we have for Monday. Like, okay.
Right.
call yesterday, and another guy says the same thing to me. He says, well, you know, let me look. Well, we have an Altima out there right now. I'm like, all right, well, an Altima isn't terrible. I'm like, you know, I was looking for maybe a small SUV. Because, well, unless something comes in tonight, you know, then, yeah, we won't. Basically, they're not going to know until Monday morning. Yeah,
they're not going to know the day you need the car. They're not going to know.
right.
That's hysterical. So you don't know. Basically, you don't.
Well, yeah, no idea.
Altima is probably about the smallest you would tolerate on a long trip. With,
you know, but now even like a Camry or that class of car is. Yeah, actually, you said they had a Malibu. They consider Malibu a big car. Like,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, my wife has a Cruze. I don't consider it a big car. It's a comfortable car, I'll say that. Mm-hmm. You know, so, hey, whatever, you know.
Yeah, Malibus are. And I went down with an Impala, which was pretty much the same thing at this couple of years earlier. And yeah, it was fine.
You know, the Impala they put, I was looking on their site, they put that in the luxury, the ultra luxury car class, an Impala, believe that or not. Right?
Yeah, exactly. You know what? I don't know whether our standards are very high or very low. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's one of those things that kind of you puzzle. You're like, what? An Impala? Really?
Exactly.
But, you know, it's funny because you kind of harken back to the Impalas of the early 70s, which had like a vinyl interior and Berber carpet of some sort.
Can you kick me up to the Caprice Classic so I can get that Paisley material?
Give me some of that fake General Motors wood on the door panels. That's what I'm looking
Caprice
for.
Is that. So who knows? You know what? It's actually the thing that I wanted, and I'll ask him on Monday, that I really would like to have. That's a long shot. Do you have a car without a New York plate on it? Something with a different license plate? Because going through Virginia, they're not too New York friendly down there.
No, they're not.
The drivers aren't either. It's like, really?
It does. And I believe me, it does make a difference. Oh, yeah. When you're meandering down the highway with a New York plate, yeah, you become a target. Unless things have changed, but.
Nope.
Yeah, I haven't been on a road like that in a while, but unless things have changed, I'm sure they still stay the same. Although I have had benefits with driving an old police car down to Georgia.
True.
which was kind of an experience in itself. And mind you, a pleasant experience, I may add. It wasn't bad. It was all good.
You know, my wife was getting somewhat concerned. I said, hey, you know what, about being able to get a car? I said, worst comes to worst. We get the spare tank on the roof. We fire up the FJ and we head south. Like, what the heck? I think it'd be great on the road, you know?
Yeah.
I think it'd be a great road car.
You'll blow it out completely at that point. You won't have to worry about cleaning the intake manifold.
You know, when I went to Niagara Falls in my minivan many years ago, that's what I did. And that engine ran great after that.
Oh, yeah. Well, because you gave it an Italian tune-up.
Right. What else is running good to the phone? So let's push the button and say, hi, you're on with the Motor Mouths.
Well, you could always put a dry shot of nitrous in it.
There's another consideration. That's right. Christian, how you doing?
What's up, Christian?
Harder nozzle right in the intake. Won't hurt anything. Don't worry. Yeah. Especially if it's before the air intake temperature sensor, you'd be okay.
Yeah. Yeah, then you put a little dab of silicone on it when you pull it out and hand it back to them. They'll never know.
Leave the hole in it. It's all good. Actually, you know what? That would throw off the mass airflow sensor. Because you had that, and I had that happen with the loose boot going on to the intake.
Absolutely. Too much air before the metering point. Yeah.
Yeah.
So the only reason why I say the air intake temperature sensor is because when the nitrous hits it, it cools it off. So it actually makes the car get a little richer.
Right. Right. Good idea.
Don't ask me how we know this.
Yeah, I know.
No, it's so funny because like years ago, I went out to Colorado and we rented a Tahoe and it had New York plates. What are the odds?
Ooh. Wow.
And I was like, you know what? We're like a stone's throw from Pike's Peak, too.
Yeah.
I'm like, come on, we got to do this. You know?
Right.
But
so did you have any experiences, Christian, with the New York plates on the car? Were there any bad experiences?
Not in Denver, no. I mean, as soon as we hit the road, no, No, you know what? It was snow, and we were out there skiing and stuff, so it was no big deal. But it was like, what are the odds, you know? There might have been. I don't know. It was just I wasn't paying attention. People are different out there.
Right, yes.
You know? Yeah, true. So. No, it's true. And you kept the snow on the plate. Didn't matter.
Yeah, well.
Okay. Keep the snow on the plate.
Oregon, I think, was like a few years back we were out, and I upgraded from a little – I guess a little tiny thing that, you know, Allison's like, oh, we'll get the little car or whatever. I'm like, you know what? We got to the, after we landed and we got there and I'm looking at the girl behind the counter and I'm like, you're talking about, you know, who to know greasing to get a good, better car. I was like, hey, can I upgrade? And they gave us a Toyota, like, you know, like the SUV. I'm trying to think of the model. It was brand new. So
a 4Runner?
It was a 4Runner. But it was like a more luxurious one. Like it had to fold the seats, the jump seats in the back.
Right, right.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, we had friends out there. Yeah, I was driving everyone around the whole entire weekend. I mean, week. But it was to drive on, you know, right on the West Shore there along the Pacific Coast. That was the best thing, was upgrading to that. Pack it out, four-wheel drive. It was comfortable. You know, it was brand new. And we had friends out there that we hooked up with. I went to the state fair. So it was like, hey, we're going to the tractor pulls, man. Everyone pile in. I could fit 10 people in this thing and, you know, go to the state fair for the tractor pulls. It was all good, you know.
Wow. So,
but, yeah, I'm just thinking about that Colorado thing with the New York plates. It was like, what are the odds?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, I know. But
yeah, sure.
I think by far the best car I've ever rented, I think, is Ford Fusion.
The Fusion wasn't a bad car. You're right.
I actually
rented one as well. Yeah, it was a nice car.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Anytime we go to PA, like when we go to the like Lancaster and stuff, I always try and get a Fusion.
Okay.
For some reason. I don't know. It's just you have that little gauge on the dashboard, and you try and throttle the car and get the most amount of mileage out of it, you know?
Yeah.
And you're going down 95, and you're like just kind of tickling the gas pedal, and it's going on between battery and gas, and I think I got 51 miles to the gallon.
I tell you, I was actually considering a hybrid, and if they have one, I would, because I want to drive one. I want to see, you know, what
where are you going, actually?
We're leaving tomorrow.
Where are you going?
Oh, down to North Carolina.
Okay, because I'm going to Tennessee in a couple weeks. We're going to Dollywood.
Oh, yeah, Pigeon Forge.
Pigeon Forge, Gatlinburg.
Gotta go to Gatlinburg, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, we did that a couple of years ago. Great trip.
Yeah, the rentals have been a little weird, though, so it's like...
Right, right.
You know, I'm like, I don't know, hopefully, basically, if I could get a... I don't know why you can't rent a wreck anymore.
No. Actually...
Rent a wreck! Actually,
it was 2018 we went down, so 3 years ago today, this week, we were in Pigeon Forge.
Oh, wow.
That was a great time, yeah.
Good time. Yeah, it's all, I haven't been there in a long time, you know.
Right.
Big Dollywood has been a... different theme than all the other stuff.
So. And she's expanding it, yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's the whole thing. You know, she's getting up there in age, so we want to get down there beforehand.
Right.
And they spare no expense down there, so.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. Whatever. But, yeah, the rental car world, yeah, go figure.
Right.
You know, it's very difficult right now, and, yeah, it's the craziest thing. You know, shortages of cars.
Yeah.
Who would have thought?
I know.
Yep.
How are you going to get around? Anyway, I think the Ford Fusion is one of the best things to rent.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I got to say, I'll know tomorrow morning. Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah. So you know what you're getting, or now you just kind of opted for the?
It's what's in the. It's going to be what's in the lot when I show up, pretty much. So you know,
Plymouth K car.
Yeah, right. That's what I'm saying. Oh, please. That's what I said. Yeah, give me a Tercel or you know, like some kind of a. Yeah, like a 98 Honda or something, like a 98 Max, a Civic.
I take it. If you can't get it, you got to take it, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's the whole thing.
That's what I said.
Imagine getting the Chrysler New Yorker or something back in the day.
Now you're talking. I'll put the Safari gas tank on the roof of the FJ, and we'll go take that thing down.
Yeah, how come you're not driving that down?
You know, because it's just nice using someone else's car, and, you know. I mean,
yeah, you don't want to put the mileage on it. It's just
true. I'm guilty of that. True.
Yeah.
So anyway, Fusion. I like the Fusion.
Yeah. You have trouble on the road, you call up and say, "Hey, come get it." You know.
Yeah. Give me another one.
And come get. Yeah. Exactly.
Right.
Drop off. Yeah. No, you're right.
That's nice too.
Anyway. All right. Cool.
All right, Christian.
That's all.
All right, my brother.
Bye, guys.
Thanks.
Catch up with you later.
All right. So long.
Bye.
Be safe. 516-572-7440 is the phone number. Light up the phone. Do something else with that finger.
Yeah.
Yes. 516-572-7440. Yes.
Well, I want to talk about with the finger. Yeah, 2 weeks. Last week we had the show was Mighty Vac. We had Jeff Craig on from Mighty Vac.
Yes.
Great show.
Good show.
I was starting to tell a little story in the beginning that I want to finish quickly about the Buick, the Grand National, because people should know this. Again, just to recap the high points, the car had the original braking system in it, which is that electrical motor that boosts. They don't call it a hydro boost, but they call it something else. And it's unobtainium. You can't buy it. When it fails like this one did, the brake pedal is, you can't stop the car. It's that hard. It's not like you lose like your vacuum booster and it's just hard. No, this is like literally brick wall hard.
Oh my gosh.
So the fix was we put in a conventional booster and master. And what I did is I went on a major brake website. Because we got the parts local. So I went, and I won't put the name out there, but this guy is very reputable. And he said what you need to do is change the position of where the rod comes through the firewall from the booster. You have to change it from up here. You have to drill a hole like an inch and a quarter lower because now the booster's at a different angle than the original brake system.
Really? Okay.
So I did it. Getting the brake pedal out was, we talked about that. It was really tough. Did it. Now, the arm was, the rod was predominantly, it was on a downward angle. I said, no, that's not right. It's not right.
Mm-hmm.
So I changed it and put it back on the top. And that was on a little bit of an upward angle. The fix was I took that brake pedal out again and drilled a hole right in the middle of the two of them. And now that rod comes out straight. And now the brakes, all the problems we were having that we thought were different things went away.
So really?
Bottom line is, even if you do it by eye, make sure that rod lines up straight.
Oh, my gosh. Holy smokes.
Let's see if the rod lines up straight over here. We'll go to the phones and say, hi, you're on with the Motor Mouths.
Hi, it's Tom from Massapequa. Good morning.
What's up, Tom?
Thomas!
Hey, question. We're looking at a new SUVs, and on my short list are the Volvo 60s, and I don't know much about the Volvo brand. How do they compare to the Japanese brands in longevity? We keep our cars for a long time, and I was just curious your feedback on the Volvo.
Wow. What are the other choices on your short list, Tom? Or is that it?
These are what we like from seeing them, not necessarily, you know, really shopping, but the Volkswagen, what is it, Atlas maybe? I like the way they look.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're looking at typically difficult car companies. You're looking at the Germans and the Swedes. If you plan on keeping the car for a long time, plan on doing repairs in the distant future. And if that's the case, we're talking about cars that they're notorious for repairs as far as not in the first 3 years or first 5 years. But I have a very good friend of mine that got rid of his Volvo SUV because he claims it needed all of the oxygen sensors. Now, mind you, we're talking about a Volvo that went 150 plus thousand miles. And it was like a mid 2000s, like 2005 or 2006. And he got his use out of it. But when he said that the four oxygen sensors were worth more in the car, that's when he realized. But now, mind you, the car is certainly at that point at the end of its life. So he probably, he said he was very happy with it, and he got a ton of use out of it. So,
you know
it all depends on how you look at it.
Our buddy Cliff echoed that a lot of people like, and I know a few people, more than a few, that have bought Mazdas. I see one over there, like the CX-5, the CX-7, very, very popular and rock solid.
Yeah, I have a CX-9, and I'm knocking on wood here. I'm knocking on top of my head.
Solid. The Mazda, I had a Mazda 3. I have a Mazda 3. And literally, the life of that car, I've had it since 06. All I've ever done to it was a couple sets of brakes. Mm-hmm. I tuned it up. I put plugs in it twice only because I felt I should, and then air filters and struts. And that was it.
Yeah.
Literally, it needed nothing. But the, like I said, Tom, I had rented that Atlas a couple of years ago when it was brand new and really liked it on the road. It was, it had different power modes. You could go into power saving mode on the highway, which I did. Got good gas mileage. It wasn't hard to drive. It was very nice. And now the VWs, they say, have come back a bit. You know, I know Brian, Mechaman Brian, is saying that the German cars are always expensive, you know, to repair if you want to. They always have been and always will be. So, and the Volvos fall along that branch. So,
what's keeping you from the Americans or the Japanese, Tom?
All right, well, here's the thing. Okay, I like the Japanese stuff, right? I believe in that strongly, right? And, but forget that a second. I also like the Lincolns the way they look, but...
There you go.
Cost of ownership, you know, over the long term, you know, and the repair stuff. And I love the new Lincolns or even the, what is it, the Ford, you know, the Ford SUVs. I forget what they're called.
Explorers.
But...
Yeah, the Explorer line is very good, very versatile line. And I like the Lincolns, personally. And I know Chevy is selling a ton of those Blazers that look really nice. I think the Chevy line is doing a bang-up job. I think they're pretty good, the Chevy GMC line. I think they're ones to look at as well, and you may be getting the same type of vehicle for like two-thirds the price of the Germans or the Swedes. So I think they're worth taking a look just to see.
I see what you're saying. We're going to look. And the other thing, honestly, I was worried about the cost of parts on the Volvos and the Volkswagens when you go to repair them later on, you know?
Yeah, and rightly so. Yeah, I would say it's a concern. But when you mention the Lincolns, I think the Lincolns have spent a ton. Lincoln really went all out on their interior appointments and just the way it looks and the way it drives. I think they're really shooting for the luxury SUV market in a big way. I think they're serious, and that's why Aviator, right? The Aviator and the Navigator Aviator. Yeah, those one-way mirrored aviators that I'm wearing now.
And just so you know, Joe says, 99 German cars, no. Volvo shop manual's like an IKEA instruction book, so...
There you go. Right there.
So, Tom, keep us apprised of what you're going to do. Let us roll. We got another call we're going to take.
Thank you, guys. And have a great day.
Talk to you soon. Thanks.
Thank you, Tom. Always a pleasure.
All right. Another caller now dropped out. So, that is the thing with the long term with stuff like that. But the Mazdas, you know, my chiropractor has one. My niece has, they have two. And everybody likes them. Let's go back. Let's see. We'll go to the phones. Go to the fun. Say hi. You're on with the Motor Mouths. Caller, you were on with the Motor Mouths. Now you're not. Okay. Drop that again. that's like you said. Yeah, like we've learned in our lifetime that anything Japanese has become very good quality. You know.
Yeah, but you know, the funny thing, you talk about that. My 2014 CX-9 and my 2014 Explorer. Police car had the same motor in it.
Okay.
It's the same 3.7 V6.
Nice.
Same motor.
Wow.
It's hysterical.
Let's try this motor and say hi. You're on with the Motor Mouths, caller.
Yes, good morning. This is Liz.
Hey, Liz. How
Liz,
are you?
Hi.
Oh, my God. I was just listening to you regarding the oxygen sensor.
Mm-hmm.
And I just changed that for my Honda, which is now 154,000 miles.
Wow.
It's not even broken in.
Nice.
What's that?
It's not even 154,000 miles, and it's not even broken in. It still runs strong, right?
Yeah.
It's still running well.
Yeah, but I am very, very close. Stick shift, as you remember.
Yes.
Yes.
And I'm very happy with it. A lot of people ask me if I am selling it. The Honda is, pushing me. Oh, you know, you need a new car. No, I don't need a new car. I love my stick shift and the way it's designed and everything. And I wanted to let you know that I'm always happy to hear you. And I was wondering, is WHPC planning a meeting on the beach, for the radio?
If you're talking
about
that'd
be nice.
Yeah, that would be nice. If you're talking about a remote, I don't have any plans right now, Liz, no.
Yeah.
No, no, you don't.
But we'll keep you apprised if something happens.
Sure.
Right. Okay. So, car wash. I am going to the Classic Car Show in Valley Stream every Friday night.
Oh, nice.
And good. Yeah, I love to see my Mustang 1967. You know me, okay. Crazy about that. And other than that, you know, I mean, all is good. And nice. I hope all is good for you.
Yeah, I'm going to get down there one night. That's we met a guy at the East Rockaway Cruise night who was pumping that one, and we're going to get down there one of these nights.
Right. Okay.
Okay.
Great.
Thanks, Liz.
You're welcome. God
all
bless.
Right.
Bye-bye.
So long.
Bye-bye.
All right. Always good
Thank
to hear
you
from
for
Liz.
Calling, Liz. Yes, it's true. And you know what? With a Honda Pilot with a stick shift, you know the car guaranteed will never get stolen.
It's an Element.
Oh, it's an Element. What did I say? Pilot. Element. Yes. That's right. Yes, with the plastic sides.
So speaking of cruise nights and car shows, let me mention it's Sunday, August 29th, a few weeks, at St. Anthony's High School.
Anthony!
Right. It's our own Centurion Cruises, the Police Surgeons Benevolent Association Car Show. The fraternity with the Centurion Cruises Car Club is in association. All proceeds go to the family of Officer Anastasios Tassos, who was taken down the line of duty last year. So be there, because that's going to be a great show. And in the meantime, we have another caller. So let's go to the phones and say hi. You're on with the Motor Mouths.
Gentlemen, there's something about a French accent.
Oui, oui.
Really?
What's up? What's
Isn't
up,
that
Bob?
Great?
Yeah.
Oh, we love it. Yes, we love
yeah,
listening
it's
to
really
this.
Neat.
Yeah.
So I have some non-adversarial advice for Tom.
Okay.
Oh, go ahead.
The Volkswagen and Volvo are, this is something to consider, they're going to strictly battery. They're phasing out the diesels, and they're phasing out their gas engines. Probably a significant amount in 2 years. So if he's going to buy one of those vehicles, Volkswagen's already committed. And as you know, Volvo has Polestar. Uh-huh. Polestar is going to be separate from Volvo. Mm-hmm. And they've committed to all battery, all electric.
Wow.
Wow.
No gas at all. Zero.
That's a gutsy move. You know, that is a gutsy move. That,
yeah. Yep.
You know, that was something my wife had said to me. She says, hey, you know what? Let's just say we had a Tesla or something like that. She goes, will we be able to make this trip? And I was like, no.
Right. No, you can't.
No. We have to, it's somewhere around halfway, we would need a refill. And like, I don't even know how you go about finding places that have charging stations for the various electric cars. You know, are they standard? That's another question. Is will a plug for Tesla, will that fit in a in a Honda or a Toyota?
I think there is a standardization for something like that, yes.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, Tesla throughout the nation is they're mapping Tesla's mapping the United States for their charging stations for their vehicles, and I could be wrong. I think Tesla is Tesla exclusive or 240 at home.
Right.
Really?
Yep.
That's interesting.
I don't understand. It's beyond my comprehension. This level of. You know, we were energy independent, and now we're going to. Who's going to charge the cars that are parked on the street? People don't have driveways.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Right. Good point. Or parking garages.
You know, so now we're going to buy a lot. We're going to cement it over. We're going to do charging stations, and there'll be like every Citgo station on every corner throughout Nassau County.
And how is the electricity being produced that provides the charge for those cars?
You
just back up the process a little bit, and you come back to fossil fuel anyway.
Sure, coal and steam.
It's not that many steps behind.
There is something called, I just looked it up, in North America, every electric vehicle manufacturer, except Tesla, uses the SAE J1772 connector, also known as a J-plug.
Okay.
Yeah. So Yeah, you hit it on the head here. There is a there may be like adapters that need to be produced and purchased.
You know, Matt Goldman was telling me that when you buy the car, you have to get an adapter to charge it that costs about $1,000. So it doesn't stop from there.
And you don't go to Home Depot for that.
Yeah,
I can't see it. So I had one suggestion for Tom, and that is this. GM just went back online with their full-size Tahoe and Suburban. As you know, they were down several times in the last 2 years for a couple of months at a time for chips, etc. Mm-hmm. Tom drives. He drives that nice big Escalade. My suggestion to him would be get an LT Tahoe.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Get an LT Tahoe.
Exactly. There you go.
Got plenty of room. I know, guys. I'm waiting on something else, but he can get at over 20 miles a gallon, and there's all the room in the world on the Tahoe.
Yeah, there is.
There is.
Or he could do like we did last night and break out the Yukon Jack and start doing some snake bites. And you know, do shots heavily. That was my we had a nice little barbecue last night at Kilowatt Kevin's house, but I divest. Yeah, I just kind of
yeah, exactly.
Just a side note.
You're divesting. That's what you're doing right now.
Just a side note. That's it. So, all right, Bob. Thanks for the advice. Right.
Yeah, I mean, I can't see how they're gonna manage this, but
I don't know.
They're doing. Bob, they're ramming it down our throats.
You have a very good point, because I always said, you know, like, you can have a car for 20, 30 years and then restore it and it'll be fine, a gas-powered vehicle. But what do you do with an electric car that's 20 or 30 years old? Does that battery last that long? And if how do you replace it? How do you rebuild them? So, Mike, I have the same questions that you do as far as how electric cars are going to fare in the long term.
Right.
Like we say. So I agree with you, Bob. I totally understand.
And I'll still be burning fossil fuel at an alarming rate. So I'll be keeping up my end of the deal.
Same here.
All right.
Thanks for the call, Bob.
Thanks, Bob.
Have a great weekend.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Talk to you. Bye.
We'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
All right. So we've reached the bottom of the hour. Do we have an honor group of the hour today, Chris?
Of course we do, Raymond. We have Motormouth Radio Honor Group of the Hour today. If you work on vehicles in very tight spaces, can you do the 2-foot shimmy between the car and everything else? Do you have to reposition the floor jack because the jack handle will hit the wall or worse? Hit another car? Do you have to remove boxes just to open the hood of the trunk? Or take stuff off the shelves in the garage just to open the door? Or do you have to completely turn the car around to open up the other door? Well, if you have to be an automotive contortionist as well as a mechanic and a technician, you are a part of the Motormouth Radio Honor Group of the Hour.
Nice.
You and I are both part of this group right now.
Right. Absolutely, for sure.
Yes.
All right. So we're going to take a break. We don't have a CD player availability today, so we don't have any music to take us.
Let me do the music. Let me do the music.
Keep it where you got it, 90.3 WHPC.
This show on 90.3 WHPC is brought to you by CARSTAR Celebrity Chase Collision, with two locations in Limbrook and Oceanside, who remind you that New York State law says you always have the right to choose which shop will fix your car. CARSTAR Celebrity Chase Collision offers a full range of services, 24-hour towing between Montauk and Manhattan, shuttle service, and they can help you with a rental car arrangement if needed. All repairs include the CARSTAR Lifetime Nationwide Warranty, ensuring that the experts at Celebrity Chase Collision are always on your side.
Y sí, hablamos español.
More information is available by calling 516-593-0920 or visiting online at celebritychasecollision.com.
You're listening to the Motor Mouth.
Oh.
You know them.
So nice talking to you guys. I miss you.
You love them.
I heard you talking about us, so I thought I'd call in.
Vote them out.
You want to serve dinner to them.
How you doing, guys? Sorry to interrupt.
How are you, Ray?
Chris is the sharpest drill bit, right?
This is the first time that I'm actually listening live and working on a car.
Our trained staff of two will help.
I'll call you back when I have the solution.
Well, thanks a lot, guys. That definitely points me in the right direction.
No, hold your breath. I hope you're sitting down.
Vote them out.
A tornado of urban legend and BS.
No. I'm not going to wax my Johnson. I'm going to wax my Evan Root.
As always, you are a consummate professional.
When I listen on my laptop, I got to keep that thing screaming.
I don't mean to blow you up on the airwaves.
Quite frankly, there are better things to do with your time.
Oh, this is why I call wrong number by accident.
I want you all to know, sometimes I don't even wear pants.
I have no clue, and I can't hit it with a hammer to fix it.
Yeah, I want to know what the is wrong with my car.
I got to give you guys a call and talk to you.
Vote him out.
I'm in the car now.
They're going to talk about working on cars, but not going to work on yours.
There is no answer, and it makes you think, and I like the things that make you think.
What are you doing here?
I'm on break.
Okay, good. So are we.
There are answers, sometimes correct ones, and we may have them.
Mouth Radio, 90.3 FM, WHBC.
Motor Mouth!
Got a car question? Give the Motor Mouths a call at 516-572-7440.
All right, thank you, Kim. Give that phone a call. We're going to be hearing from one of our Southern more friends in a minute. And, we'll talk about all sorts of other cool stuff. We're restarting our computer again, so that's good.
And okay.
It won't affect us, though. It's okay.
All righty. So, I'm glad. No, because we're rolling with it right now. I know we're having the technological hijinks going on in the studio, so
right.
We're trying to make the best of it at 516-572-7440. If we have a minute, I wanted to touch on a subject that I found very interesting.
Okay, but now you have to hang on because now we do have a call. We're going to go to the line and say, hi, caller, you're on with the Motor Mouths.
Hey, guys, what's going on?
Hey, Matt Goldman, what's happening?
What's up, Brian?
Just trying to get motivated and started the day, but had to take a break and listen to you guys.
Did you put the hot dog down, the chili dogs and all that, or what?
No, we haven't got around to that yet. Kind of slow this morning, a slow start on a Sunday, but we'll get it cranked up and get going here soon.
Yeah, me too. The snake bites kind of did that.
Yeah, we're trying to get motivated here ourselves.
Right.
Yeah, I got to replace the EGR cooler, and I want to reseal the top end of my F-350, and it's been apart for like 2 weeks now, and I just haven't gotten back to it. So that's what I was going to try to do today, but we'll see what happens.
Brian, got to ask you a question. You leave a car apart, you leave your truck apart for 2 weeks, and now you go back to it. Do you forget what you did?
Unfortunately, no.
You don't forget, but that was my question too. I thought about that and said, there's always certain things left, hanging or in limbo, and bolts are on the cowl and whatever. And
yeah,
you know, it's
two weeks is a lifetime for me. If I do anything on the car, it's got to be like within the first 48 hours, because after a while, the information starts dropping off the table. You know what I mean?
Right.
If my car's apart for 2 weeks,
thanks, Kim.
I'm popping the hood.
I'm not a super at it, but I unfortunately have one of those memories where I forget the important things, but I never forget the unimportant things.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Got it. See, you know what I have to do? Every time I do a job on a car that I know is going to last longer than 2 weeks, I'm going to take a picture of it and just send it to you.
There you go.
I have to be that ace in the hole. Like when you have one of those stupid questions that, you know, like that $64,000 question,
right?
Because I know that answer, but I don't know the answer for the $1 million. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Exactly. Like you can't figure out world peace, but you know exactly how that configuration on the F-350 goes back together again. You can do that no problem.
It's crazy what I remember and the stuff that I do forget, but, going back to what you were talking about on the battery cars.
Yeah.
One of my shops and the guy I used to work with, he is the first guy that owns a gas station that pulled out the petroleum tanks and put in charging stations on it. There'll be a thing on CNN about him, but it's kind of crazy that those cars, like especially Tesla, will map out where to go to get charged.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that you can plan your route when you're on a trip.
But it does take at least a half an hour to 45 minutes to charge it to the point where you can go to the next charging station. I mean,
they have quick charge, and that's something like 15 minutes. On these, on his gas station, they're all quick chargers,
right?
And but the ones in your home are like a slower charge,
right?
See, I'm wondering what
it's kind of crazy.
Yeah, like what is the abuse on the battery when you're putting in a constant quick charge?
Well, it's like your cell phone. Yeah, when you use the wall adapter, that's usually quick charge. I use that every night.
But
And then the cell phone battery lasts like 9 or 10 months compared to a 3-year cell phone battery if you trickle charge it every night. I mean, you're going to put undue abuse on a battery if you fast charge it.
I tell you something, you know, in case point, my phone, the phone I use now is 3 years old, and I've charged it that way since I got it new, and I have, you know, everything is in working fine. So, but I do, I also shut it off at night. And I don't leave it on 24/7. So, and same thing with my computers. We've talked about that. I shut them off too all the time. And I think that's the better thing to do. Other people argue that it's not. Right. So, you know, and Brian just puts them in a vise, crushes them, and says, "Give me a new one." So, he's got that Matco vise on the truck. Ah, give me that.
That takes care of all the problems. That's,
exactly.
That's just crush it, right?
Exactly. Get that right.
That's crazy.
Yeah, you get good forearms that way. Yeah, that works.
Watch awesome. Out for the spark. That's all.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Watch out for the spark. I totally agree. But yeah, it's a controversy, and only time will tell how many Teslas will be on the road 10 years from now. I mean, how many 2015, 2016, 2017, 2018, 2020 Teslas will be on the road 5, 6, 7, 8 right. years from now? We don't know.
Yeah.
We don't know.
I'll have to post a picture. I was in the Ford dealership on Monday, and they had one of those Mach-E Mustangs, the electric ones. And it was kind of funny because they had the front carpet out under the hood. So when they opened the hood, you could see the ground and the steering rack, but it looked like where a motor should have been, but there was no motor. So it was kind of funny. But that one actually had, what was that, 2, 4, 6? Was that 6 or 8? I can't remember, but it was a battery pack that, you know, bolts to the bottom of the floor.
Yeah.
Right.
And they had that out, and they were replacing 2 of the packs because they had swollen up.
Ooh.
And you could see where they split inside the case and so forth.
Yeah, not good.
That's not good.
Yeah, but it was kind of crazy seeing that all out because it was just like, it was kind of like taking a Lego apart, I guess, is the best way, because you just like unbolt this whole floor part out. But there was still another floor in, you know, and they do that for that, I guess, the gravity, I mean, the weight, you know, distribution of the weight in the car. But
crazy
seeing where a motor should be and there's not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's like opening the front hatch of a Porsche, you know, 911. Like, hey, where's the motor? You know?
True, too.
In the back.
There's a picture of me floating around where I was pulling a AC condenser out of a twin turbo. 911 or 930, and I was sitting where the gas tank would have been up front, and that's kind of funny seeing a big guy coming out of the hood, but it's nothing like seeing a chick jumping out of the cake, but it was close enough.
Absolutely, that's for sure.
Oh, I got a vivid picture in my mind now.
Yeah.
Graphic engineering is tough, huh?
Right.
Yeah. Someone talk about like a green tree or something.
Right? Yeah.
get this out of my head.
So, Brian, before all the electric cars take over, you gotta get cracking on that Mustang of yours. You want to be able to get some fuel for it when it's time to drive it.
Hey, it was kind of funny today. I was going up to see the hot rods.
Okay.
And sitting at a light, and there were 3 or 4 various different hot rods, and the sitting in front of me, and I'm in the tool truck, and all of a sudden I get the sweet smell of Cam 2 floating around in the air.
Oh, nice.
And I want to say, I think that was the hardest launch that the tool truck ever had off of that light, and it must have been sucking in that Cam 2 through the air cleaner.
So you drove the tool truck to the cruise, morning.
Yeah, well, I don't have anything else. That's my only vehicle at the moment. So it's driving the tool truck around.
Wow.
Kind of interesting.
Well, you see, now if you would get that hot dog roller, you could sell hot dogs to the crowd, you know, and then maybe a screwdriver or two, too, you know. You never know.
Yeah. I've thought about it a few times. Actually, having the truck out and about like that, I do pick up a few of Mama Don't Know cells, so
okay,
it does work out.
That's good. No, that's good.
That's very good. Mama don't know cells.
Right, 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 right. That's very good.
Exactly. Now that the cat's out of the bag, we'll have to go back and erase that part of the tape now.
Yeah.
Don't worry. No one's listening, bro.
Yeah, we can
edit that. No one's listening. Your secret's safe.
Yeah. You guys are trouble.
Yeah, we tried.
So you're all packed up, Ray. You got your toothbrush and an extra change of undies and ready to hit the road.
You know, I've been throwing stuff on the dining room table that I want to bring, like electronic stuff, whatever. Just kind of staging it. And I asked my wife. So listen, I said I want to make sure the hotels, if they have laundry service, if I can get a washer dryer, I want to pack light as far as clothes go, and I'll just wash them. Because I hate coming home with dirty clothes. I just don't like doing that.
Oh, yeah.
So I like to wash them before I come home. And she says, yeah, they all do. I said, good. I'm packing light. And this way, you know, throw some clothes in the wash and just recycle. It's, you know, shorts and T-shirts and, you know.
Yep.
We're not going to be doing any highbrow stuff. So whatever. So, yeah. Well, we'll see. We'll see how it goes. And I'm on, I don't know what's going to happen for Thursday night. I'll see if I can connect, if I can get on, you know, I'll do the Thursday night show. And if not, you guys will have to carry on without me.
Ooh.
So.
I don't know if we can handle that.
Yeah, you can. Yeah, we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens on Thursday. But, yeah, we'll give it a shot. So.
That's awesome. Well, I hope you have a safe trip, Ray. And, and like I said, hopefully, you know, you have fun down there.
Yeah.
It's a whole different world.
But, I know.
You'll have to hide that New York accent. They might think you're a stranger.
Yeah, good
stranger
luck.
Danger, for sure.
Good luck with that. Hey, you know what? Good. Yeah. Let them stay away from me. I'm from New York. Stay the hell away from me. That's kind of that's the badge I'm going to wear. Me and John, we wear the same badge all the time. From New York. Stay away. All right, Brian, thanks. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, you guys take care and stay out of trouble, guys.
All right.
Be safe, bye-bye. My brother.
So long, Bryce.
Bye-bye. All right. 516-572-7440. Call us. Phones are on fire.
Somebody, has been burning up the line. Let's see if we can pick this one up and say, hi, you're on with the Motor Mouths.
Is this Motor Mouth Radio, Rob Leonard's favorite talk show about automobiles?
I think it might be. Robbie, what's happening?
Is this Robbie Leonard? Wow.
Yes, it is Chris Switzer, Mr. Not Brooklyn anymore.
Yeah.
we feel we're amazed and humbled by your call here. How are you?
Well, I heard you guys. First of all, I'm doing fine, and you guys always are sounding good. I forgot you were doing the Thursday show. Is it both of you together, or is it just Ray?
No, it's a different show. It's an internet-based show. It's not our radio show.
Right. Oh, okay. Well, that's cool. Anyway, I heard you bad-mouthing electric cars.
Yeah.
So I had to call up and correct you on a couple of things. I don't have one. I'd like to have one. Where I live, I don't know how I would charge it. That is one of the problems. And I'm not one of those car haters, you know, gasoline car haters, because I personally think gasoline cars are going to be around for another 50 years at least, because people are going to have old cars, because my car is 20 years old and it's running fine, and I know other people have cars that old or older, so it's not going away. And I'm not one of those people who wants to turn New York City into a bike lane.
Oh yeah,
you know, there's a bunch of I was on 7th Avenue a couple of months ago, and there were two lanes for buses. There were no lanes for cars.
Yeah,
it was horrible. It was just horrible. But anyway, there is something to be said about the electric car. If now Chris and I have a mutual friend who has a solar panel on his roof, and part of the solar panel is goes to the charger for his car. So he's getting his car charged off the solar panel, which means it's not costing him anything except for the solar panel.
Right.
So,
allegedly.
That's interesting, because solar panels, especially smaller ones, don't typically put out a lot of voltage. It's millivolts.
Right.
But, it will put out something.
Depends on how big your thing is. His whole roof is covered,
Okay.
So,
yeah,
part of it goes to the car charger, and the rest of it goes to the house or however he decides to distribute it.
No, that's
usually, you got that. But I also think, and I have no proof of this, but wouldn't a car that was charged from electricity be more efficient than a car that uses gasoline? You know, that I know, but you're right. You'd have a giant factory, thing or wherever that makes the electricity, that would be still going, obviously. But, the solar panel thing is a great idea. I mean, but you're right. There's some places, if you live in the city and you park on the street, where are you going to go? You have to go to a garage to do it, or and that's going to be a problem. They haven't figured that part out yet.
Right.
But eventually, one of the major automobile gas companies is going to start putting solar panel, electric charge car things in their place. If they have diesel, they can have an electric charger there too. So, it's just something to think about. As a lot of car manufacturers, and yes.
You need the space as well. Yes, you can have a service station with an electrical charge, but you have to realize the car is going to sit there for a minimum, as we were discussing, of 15 minutes when you could pull into you need the space. A lot of service stations, especially urban service stations, don't have that kind of space.
You're right, and they're not going to have electrical chargers. But say you're on the Jersey Turnpike. And, you have the 15 rows of gas stations
If you think of
maybe
it,
three of them could be for electric cars until four cars get in the you're right about that.
Around here, it's a crunch, and certainly in the city. But when you go out to other states, you see how big those gas stations are. RVs out there. I mean, you can just take the perimeter and put them right out there.
That wouldn't be a problem.
In areas like ours, it's a crunch. Yeah.
Space is a problem. You're right. And they have to figure that out. What the best thing would be is somehow to put a solar panel on the roof of your car and have it constantly charging, into your battery.
Right.
Something like that. But I haven't seen that yet. And, and it doesn't help that occasionally a Tesla goes on fire for no reason.
Yeah.
So.
Just like this show.
It goes on fire for no reason.
That's right. Like this console, like our studio. It's like, geez, the whole thing today is like up in flames.
Well, as long as it actually doesn't go on fire, we're okay.
Right.
Yeah. So, Ray, you're thinking of moving out of Long Island?
Yes.
Is that what I'm hearing?
Ultimately, that would be the plan, yeah.
Why?
Because of the... the taxes.
You want a list?
I mean, it's something I learned from all the years of talking to the older guys in my life. Now I'm the older guy. Where once you when you're working and making the money, it's just money in, money out, no big deal. But when you retire and you're living off the money you've saved, I don't want to give that back to the government and the county in the form of taxes. I want to keep as much of that as I can. So,
well, are you retiring? Is that what you're doing?
Yeah, I will be. Yeah.
Why?
That's up.
You haven't made the shade.
Yeah, true, but I've been doing this a long time. I've been working all my life, and it's about time to, as my chiropractor puts it, Rob, on the football field of life, there's more yards behind me than there are in front of me, and I want to kind of enjoy the last 20 or 30 yards that may be there.
Oh, okay.
Thinking of quality of life and all that good stuff. So.
Well, I hear Connecticut's very nice.
Yeah, it is.
I hear it's very nice.
No, not for money, though.
Right. No, I mean, they'll tax you even worse than Long Island. So.
Exactly.
Yeah, there are, yeah. Right. Not as bad as Long Island, don't get me wrong, but bad.
Right.
Well, the beautiful thing now is that you guys can still do the show from separate parts of the country.
Absolutely.
That's the beautiful part. Yeah, we can just hook up the thing, and you could be wherever you are, Chris could be wherever he is.
If we're not doing it here, we'll be doing it somewhere, somehow. Don't worry. Yeah.
Well, good, because the world needs you guys together hosting the show.
I think so.
Thank you, Robbie.
Thank you.
Always appreciate your...
And you should do is you should go to the Tesla. I think the Tesla showroom is at Roosevelt Field. It was at one point.
I actually was at Tesla in Brooklyn. I had visited that location a couple of years ago. Very impressive.
Isn't one thing about the electric car, there's just a lot less moving parts. Yeah. I mean, it still runs everything, but there's just a lot less to fix.
Right.
Wouldn't it be
that way? But the batteries are very expensive. There's, you need special training tools, stuff like that. So,
That's true. The batteries aren't there yet either. They're still working on it. It's, will it ever be perfected? I mean, has the automobile been perfected? No, but it's going to be. It's going to move on to better things. I hope, and I hope one day to have an electric car. I don't have one yet. I have a nice Honda. It works fine.
Right.
I don't mind putting gas in it, but
Right. I still have to stop on the way to Maryland to visit my cousin, yep. So to fill up the car. So,
all right, Rob.
Okay, boys. I won't see you next week.
Nope.
But
right.
But I hopefully will see you soon. Then later.
Talk to you soon.
A long time.
Right.
Guys.
Always thank you for your great introductions to our show every week. We always appreciate.
Well, I hope
that.
There's a collection that might turn into a promo. I want to hear that.
Yeah.
And
there is, and there is, and there will be.
I thought today's was actually excellent. Yeah. You know,
I will listen to it.
All right, Rob.
Okay.
Thank you, my brother.
Thank you, boys. Bye.
All right. So long.
Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
All righty. You know, I'm going to sneak one more in. We have a call that's been trying to get in for like the better part of the hour.
I love it.
Let's go to the phones and say hi, my persistent friend. You're on with the Motor Mouths.
Hi, guys. It's Big Al from Wantagh checking in.
Hey, Al. Sorry to make you wait so long. But it's
No. It's great. The enthusiasm with the audience and your following, it's great. It's good for you guys. It's good for us.
Okay. Well, we got a couple minutes left, so unfortunately we're going to have to make it fairly quick. What do you got?
Okay. Well, first of all, there's a couple of thresholds. Your program today addressing electric vehicles, excellent. It's something that's on a lot of people's minds, and my mind especially, because I just retired after 25 years of city service this week. And
congratulations.
Thank you, guys. And I heard that, Ray, you're considering retiring, too. God bless you
forward. Yeah.
Okay, so I'm at a crossroads now. I'm at, the threshold where I got my things in place that I want to do, that I've been wanting to do for 25 years. I have time, and I have, you know, fairly good health that I could still work on vehicles. So, but I'm perplexed now with the advent of the electric vehicle. Do I abandon everything I've done for I'm 61, relatively 50 years, and go into a new facet? You know, I mean, is the electric car going to be something that's viable in the next, you know, in the immediate future? Because
the short answer, no, it's not going to replace the gas engine. So the gas engines will be here for the rest of our lives and probably the rest of our kids' lives. Maybe not our grandkids, but the rest of our lives, certainly. So no, you don't have to abandon all of what you know to get into electrical vehicles. If you're anything like us, yeah, you're safe. Let's put it that way.
And I think not buy. For now,
I'm reluctant to say I'm anything like you guys, but I am exactly like you guys.
I'm sure.
Sorry to hear that.
Right.
For your sake, not ours.
You have my sympathies as well.
Right.
But, it's like I say, I want to, you know, continue working at least at my own pace, which is retirement pace.
Yeah.
And I'm an enthusiast. I'm a car enthusiast. I've been collecting. I've been, you know, swapping. I'm an advocate, muscle cars. It's my whole thing. But,
yes.
I mean, the points that you guys brought up today, you know, first of all, you know, range with the cars right now. The range is unacceptable, okay?
Sure.
And then, like you say, it's the availability of even charging it. I mean, you can't. We go to the gas station now. 5 minutes, our cars get 20 gallons of gas, and we're
out. Done. Sure,
you know.
Right. Al, unfortunately, we're going to have to wrap and let you go. We got to make room for Kim to come in to do Thunder Road, so we have to cut this short. We went right to the red line with you.
Okay,
but please call us back
next week.
Not next week because we'll be doing a remote in a couple weeks, and we'd love to pick up where we left off with this.
Yeah.
God bless you guys going forward. I hope everything's all right with you.
Thanks, Al. Same to you.
Thanks, Al. Same here. Be safe.
All right. So long. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All righty. So we are going to get out of here now.
All right. Hold on. Dum 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 dum
dum dum dum dum dum dum dum dum dum dum dum dum dum dum dum dum dum dum dum dum dum dum dum
dum dum dum dum dum dum dum dum dum dum dum dum dum dum dum dum dum dum
dum dum dum dum dum dum dum dum dum dum dum dum dum dum dum dum dum. See ya.
Bye. See ya.
90.3 WHBC signing out. Bye.